Once I start singing a song, I'm sure you guys will recognize it. The words are pretty much the same even in English. And I love the message of this song. And if you know it in Spanish, maybe know it, a lot of you guys don't, but you'll recognize it once I start singing. And hopefully it's a blessing and encouragement to you before we get into the message. Dios nos envió a su Hijo Cristo, Él es salud, paz y perdón, vivió y murió por mis pecados. Vacía está la tumba porque Él triunfó. Porque Él vive, triunfaré mañana. Porque Él vive, ya no hay temor. Porque yo sé, Dios, que el futuro es suyo. La vida vale más y más solo por Él. Yo sé que un día el río cruzaré. Con el dolor batallaré, ya al ver la vida triunfando en victa, veré gloriosas luces y veré a Rey. Porque Él vive, triunfaré mañana. Porque Él vive, ya no hay temor. Porque yo sé, que el futuro es suyo. La vida vale más y más solo por Él. La vida vale más y más solo por Él. Amen. Let me get myself situated real quick and thank you again, Pastor Garcia and Cornerstone, for your continued partnership with us in our ministry there in Ensenada, Mexico. And that is a kind of a tall pulpit. It's not Mexican size, I'll tell you that. The pulpit that I have in my church, it goes up and down. And so that's what I told my wife. I said, it's important you get a pulpit that can go up and down because I know I'm pretty tall. And so, but again, thank you, Pastor Garcia, and thank you, Cornerstone, for your continued support for our ministry. And you'll see a little bit more about what's going on there in Ensenada, Mexico. We're about a year and a half church plant, and we're a bilingual ministry. A little bit more about Friday. You'll see that we are a ministry that is very, very diverse. We have, of course, Mexicans. We have Europeans. We have families that were deported. We've had in our ministry people, Mormons, questioning Mormonism, Seventh-day Adventists, people from Church of Christ backgrounds. I would ask you guys to continue praying for Mexico. And even when missionaries that are going to Mexico come, a lot of times we think missionaries, Mexico, I mean, there's a lot of missionaries, but we need more. Because I believe, especially in our area, that Mexico is still a very, very spiritually blind nation as far as a lot of other religions have come in. In our area of Ensenada, we have a lot of Mormons. And that's kind of like a secondary, like a side ministry even for us, that we reach out to Mormons. We invite missionaries into our own. We talk and we give the gospel to them. And so just be praying for our ministry, praying that God would allow us to see more salvations. We had two salvations about last week with a mother and a daughter. And so we're praying that, you know, what's cool about being in a church plant is that you get to deal with people from all different backgrounds. And you're starting at the very, very beginning with these people and seeing them get saved and taking those steps in discipleship. And so pray for us that we would have wisdom and guidance when leading these new believers to have a closer walk with Jesus. Real quick, like, if you have your Bibles, turn to Luke chapter 2. Luke chapter 2 this tonight will be verses 21 through 32. Now, you may be asking yourself, why are we going to a Christmas passage, Louise? This is a missions conference. But sometimes I really believe that us as Bible-believing Christians, followers of Jesus, we kind of need to go down memory lane to where it all began. My mom and dad, they recently celebrated their 40th anniversary. And I call it my mom and my dad is saying, hey, guys, I want to say happy anniversary. And I'm looking at where I call them FaceTime. And I'm like, where are you guys at? And they said, we're at McDonald's. You're celebrating your 40th at McDonald's? They're like, yeah. I'm like, why are you going there? I mean, you guys gonna go, you can afford to go to a nice steak dinner, go to, you know, a Brazilian steakhouse or a nice Italian. Why are you going to McDonald's at all places? And they said, Luis, this is where it all began. It's where we had our first date here at McDonald's. So you know what? I want us to kind of go back down memory lane to get our hearts prepared for this missions conference, to be reminded of God and his promises and why he gave us Jesus. Without Jesus, we don't have the church. Without Jesus, I mean, we don't have missions. Paul says in 1 Corinthians 15, without the resurrection of Christ, our faith is in vain. So let's go back down memory lane real quick for 30 minutes and look at Luke chapter 2, verses 21 through 32. And I will begin reading as you get right into this. Luke chapter 2, verses 21 through 32. The Bible says, and when 8 days were accomplished for the circumcising of the child, his name was called Jesus, which was so named of the angel before he was conceived in the womb. And when the days of purification, according to the law of Moses, were accomplished, they brought him to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord. As it is written in the law of the Lord, every male that openeth the womb shall be called holy to the Lord. Verse 24, and to offer a sacrifice according to that which is said in the law of the Lord, a pair of turtle doves and 2 young pigeons. Verse 25, and behold, there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon. And the same man was just and devout, waiting for the consolation of Israel. And the Holy Ghost was upon him. And verse 26, it says, and it was revealed unto him by the Holy Ghost that he should not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ. And he came by the Spirit into the temple when the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him after the custom of the law. Then took he him up in his arms and blessed God and said, Lord, now lettest thou thy servant depart in peace, according to thy word. For mine eyes have seen thy salvation, which thou hast prepared before the face of all people, a light to lighten the Gentiles, and the glory of thy people Israel. I want us to go back to verse 30. And to think about those words that Simeon had said. For my eyes have seen thy salvation. For my eyes have seen thy salvation. Let's pray and we'll jump right into this message. Lord God, I come before you, God, and just ask you. You cleanse me of anything not be pleasing to you, God. As I come and open your holy word, I pray, Lord, that our hearts would be prepared to hear your word. I pray, God, if there's someone here, Lord, that does not know you as Savior, that today and tonight would be the day of salvation for them. God, help us as we remember, as we go down memory lane, Luke chapter 2, God, to be reminded of all that you've done for us, your promises that you kept, and the great Savior, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. We pray and we ask all these things in Jesus' name. Amen. I am not a patient person. I am not a patient person. I think God had a sense of humor when he called me to Mexico because we have what's called their Mexican time. It's kind of like, okay, I need you to be here at 9:30. But they'll be there at 11 or 12. And they'll message you saying, I'll be there in 10 minutes. I'm almost there. And it's like an hour later. And I am the most impatient Mexican you're going to meet, okay? And so I'm a very impatient guy. My patience was even tested when we bought this a sound mixer for our sound. It went out. I had the policy. I had the return policy for it just in case if anything were to happen. And I took it to Guitar Center, and they said, well, we'll ship it out. And I didn't hear from the company for over 2 months. So I'm calling on the phone. I'm trying to talk to the company. I'm trying to do my best to stay calm. And so, you know, they said, we're sorry, sir. You know, we're sorry for this inconvenience. We totally understand. I'm like, no, you don't understand. I'm here waiting for my sound mixer. And so they're like, okay, well, there's a few steps that you have to do in order to get your reimbursement. I'm like, this is taking so long. They took my money. They took my sound mixer. And it's all lost. And so we had to go up to the States to pick up some mail. So we went to Guitar Center. We looked at the sound mixers. I'm like, okay, well, we're going to have to fork out some money to get the sound mixer that we need to get replaced. And I got an email and said, we approved your reimbursement. It'll be in next week. And I was like, yes, thank you, Lord. Now we can actually get a sound mixer. And I was telling my wife, okay, we could possibly get that one or that one. Then boom, I get a text from my phone that says, your reimbursement is in right now. You know, I kind of thought about that and just, you know, I asked God, Lord, I'm sorry for my impatience, but isn't it amazing to know that God answers your prayers or he does everything according to his plan right on his exact timing? Isn't that amazing to think? Isn't that amazing to think that even in Luke chapter 2, when Israel thought all hope was lost, they were waiting for their Messiah, they're under the Roman government, and God had the Messiah come right exactly when he had planned. God's promises come right on time, even when we think all hope is lost. You may be saying that personally, my life is a mess right now. God, when are you going to answer this prayer? When are you going to intervene? Listen, God knows what you're going through in your life, and he'll answer it right on time. So when we see here that God answers on his timing, we could be reminded that God brought Jesus right at the exact moment and all of his plan, all through eternity. In Galatians 4, 4 through 5, the Bible says, but when the fullness of time was come, that literally means the perfect timing, God sent forth his son, made of a woman, made under the law, to redeem them that were under the law, that we might be received the adoption of sons. Isn't it nice to know that God had you in mind through all eternity, and he had Jesus come right on time for you and for me and for this whole world? It kind of makes you feel special, doesn't it? I remember even my wife. I'm a huge Chargers fan. I love the Chargers. For 2 months, she had been planning, saved up, got us two tickets to go see a Charger game, had all planned and surprised for me. And it made me feel so special that, wow, my wife thought about me. But even greater is that God thought about you, thought about myself, and he thought about the whole world when he had the plan of salvation ready for us. In 1 Peter 1:18-20, the Bible says, for as much as you know that you were not redeemed with corruptible things, as silver and gold from your vain conversation received by tradition from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Jesus Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot, who, verse 20, verily was foreordained before the foundation of the world, but was manifest in these last times for you. And we're going to see here real quick that God kept his promise, and then God kept his promise to a man named Simeon, a man full of faith, knowing and trusting God to fulfill his promises. And he, we read today, said those words. Chapter 2, verse 21, we're going to see your salvation. So we'll see here real quick. In Luke chapter 2, verse 21, we're going to see the name of Christ, the significance of his name, the name of Christ. Luke chapter 2, verse 21, again, the Bible says, and when 8 days were accomplished for the circumcising of the child, his name was called Jesus, which was so named of the angel before he was conceived in the womb. One of the most exciting things that I remember as becoming a parent, it was when you find out you're going to have a child. And I remember I was so excited about having my daughter, Juliana, my firstborn, and I was so excited about Liliana. And then the third one, I was like, it's probably going to be a girl. So we already had a girl name. But when I found out I was a boy, oh, my son. I finally got a son. I actually bought a dog that was a boy because I figured, like, I'm just going to have all girls. So at least I have another man in the house, you know. And so I was so excited. I finally got a boy. And I told my wife, we've got to name him Luis. I'm Luis. That's my son, you know. That's Luis, you know, Luis Jr. And she said, you know, I really don't like your name. I'm sorry to be, it's such a common Mexican name. I just don't really care for it. What do you think about the name Mateo? Mateo. I'm like, there's no way my family named Mateo. I mean, why would you name him Mateo? But she said, but just say it a couple more times. I was like, okay, Mateo, Mateo, Mateo. And Mateo is Spanish for Matthew. And she said, look up the meaning of Matthew, the Hebrew meaning, Mataniahu. It literally means gift of God. And I thought, wow, that is beautiful. What a beautiful gift, my firstborn son. You are right, my love. Okay, we'll go with Mateo. But names have significance, don't they? And even in different cultures, and even in Jewish culture, the child, if a male was named on the eighth day, he was named on the eighth day, then he was presented at the temple and circumcised. And we read earlier already, if you read this account, the angel already gave the name to this child. His name would be Jesus or Yeshua. And that name, Yeshua, in the Hebrew literally means the Lord is salvation or God is salvation. And there's so much power in that name. And Matthew 1:21 says, and she shall bring forth a son, and I shall call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. The name of Jesus represents so many things. We know in Acts 4:12 that there is salvation in no other name but the name of Jesus. Neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. And it's in the name of Jesus that we are justified, declared righteous, and even forgiven. And the Bible says in 1 Corinthians 6:9 through 11, now this is a church going through a whole lot of issues if you study the book of Corinthians. And the Bible says in 1 Corinthians 6:9 through 11, know ye not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? Be not deceived, neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor effeminate, nor abusers of themselves with mankind, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners shall inherit the kingdom of God. And I'm sure all of us are kind of like, that's me. That's me right there. Because we all fall short of the glory of God. We're all sinners. But look, verse 11, it says this, and such were some of you, but you are what? Washed. You are what? Sanctified. You are justified, declared righteous in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of our God. And we know here that the forgiveness of sins is received only through the name of Jesus. And it's amazing that God had the perfect name even for our Lord and Savior, Jesus. That's the one that we get to represent, is that name, Jesus. But not only do we see Christ's name, but we're going to see, secondly, real quick, the conditions of his birth. Look at verses 22 through 24. It says, when the 8 days of her purification, according to the law of Moses, were accomplished, they brought him to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord. As it is written in the law of the Lord, every male that openeth the womb shall be called holy to the Lord, and to offer a sacrifice or according to that which is said in the law of the Lord, a pair of turtle doves and two young pigeons. I love reading stories about how royal families, how they announce the birth of a child. In England, they have a gun salute. It's on the news for everybody to know. But what's amazing is that our Savior was not born with some crazy announcement to the whole world. Literally, angels came to shepherds, the lowest of the low. Jesus was born into poverty. No royal announcement, born in a manger, which honestly could have just been a cave. Because there was no room in the inn. He was born in a place kept for animals. No kings, royals were there to attend Jesus' birth. Only Mary and Joseph and some animals and some poor lowly shepherds. Now what's interesting about this, we see a little bit more into the details of this family. When a male child was born, you were to go sacrifice a lamb. But the Bible says that they sacrifice two pigeons. There was a nickname back then for that offering, that sacrifice. It was called the offering of the poor. The offering of the poor. That was the family that Jesus was born into. Could you imagine being Mary and Joseph? God, why us? We're poor. We have nothing to give to the King and King and the Lord of Lords. Maybe you're here today, and maybe sometimes you think that too. God, why me? Why would you call me to the mission field? Why would you save someone like me? But it's amazing to know that we have a God that does things that, you know, we may never understand. But he had these people in mind, said, you're perfect for the job to raise the Messiah. I can only imagine what they were thinking. Even though Jesus was of the lineage of David, a great significance to the Messiahship, we know in Isaiah 9, 6 through 7 that he is the mighty God, the everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. We know in Revelation 19, 13 through 16 that when Jesus comes back, every eye will see him, and he is the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. But in his first coming, he came to be the Savior of the world. He didn't come with an entourage. He didn't come like Aladdin, Prince Ali, Ali Sidi Baba. He didn't come like that. He came in humbleness. He did this for you and for me. Instead of being born to wealth or prestige, he grew up among commoners. Philippians 2, 5 through 11, the Bible says, let this mind be in you, which is also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, and took upon him the form of a servant, was made in the likeness of men. And being found in the fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to death, even the death of the cross. You see, Jesus came in this way to be rejected by his people, to ultimately go to the cross. But I think that also another reason why Jesus came in this way, in humble circumstances, he grew up in Nazareth, literally the slums of Israel. He worked as a carpenter. And I'm sure during his 30 years of living here on the earth before he started his ministry, I'm sure he saw it all. I'm sure he maybe saw families that struggled in their marriage. Maybe he saw somebody battling with depression. I don't know. Humans are the same as they are today, right? Jesus would have seen these things, and he knows what we go through. He came to relate to us. He came to die on the cross for our sins. The Bible says in Hebrews 4:15, for we have not a high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like we are, yet without sin. He, when you say, God, I'm going through this, he says, I understand. I know what you're going through. And that goes to the next point. There is comfort in God's salvation. There is comfort in God's salvation. Let's look at verse 25 and 26 real quick. And behold, there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon. And the same man was just and devout, waiting for the consolation of Israel. And the Holy Spirit was upon him. And it was revealed unto him by the Holy Ghost that he should not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ. Now, Simeon could have possibly been an older man. And like many before him, he was waiting for the Messiah. He was like any ordinary person, living in hardship, living in difficult time and circumstances, but he was devout and living for God. Listen, I know we're living in some difficult circumstances. I know we're living in some hard times right now within our country, but stay faithful to God. Stay faithful to his word. Stand strong for the Lord. Don't get so discouraged by everything that's going on in this world. Stand firm and stay close to God during this time. The Bible literally says that Jesus was the consolation of Israel, which refers to the Messiah. And that word consolation is to alleviate grief or to take away a sense of loss of trouble. The Messiah, the consolation of Israel, literally was to remove sorrow and comfort the nation. Now, it's amazing that Jesus, the consolation of Israel, Simeon, who was guided by who? The Holy Spirit. And who is he also called? The Comforter. He's close to God. He is guided by the Holy Spirit, the Comforter. And listen, that comfort and consolation is only found in God. What are you looking to tonight for comfort? Do you look to yourself? Do you look to maybe a substance? What do you look to? And God says that consolation, that comfort that you're looking for, that can be provided only in Him. Only through Jesus. The Bible says in 2 Corinthians 1, 3 through 4, blessed be God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies and the God of all comfort, who comforteth us in our tribulation, that we may be able to comfort them which are in any trouble by the comfort wherewith we ourselves are comforted of God. And that's good to know, that we have comfort. There's a lot of people out there that don't have comfort. Here in Hayden, in Germany, in Mexico, Magdalena, and Ensenada. There's a lot of people who are looking for comfort in all the wrong places. And that comfort can only be found in Jesus. And that's what we have to proclaim and to tell people about. But lastly, number four, and this is where we're going to end. God completed His promise. Look at verses 27 through 29. So Simeon, he came by the Spirit into the temple when the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him after the custom of the law. Then he took him up in his arms and blessed God and said, Lord, now lettest thou thy servant depart in peace according to thy word, for my eyes have seen thy salvation. Simeon waited and waited, and he got to see God's completed promise. Now, I can imagine, I like to jump in the story, put myself in the story. Here's Joseph and Mary bringing their child. I know what it's like to have a child. And here comes some random stranger grabbing Jesus and saying, the Messiah, the comforter of Israel. I'd be like, excuse me. No. this is a Mexican thing. Okay, I had to get used to this where we have our child, our baby. And a lot of times, you know, older ladies, older men, or just random people will come up and go, ay, que chiquitito lindo, and they want to grab the cheek, you know? And I'm like, excuse me, no, that, you know, you don't touch a baby by the face, nah-uh. But it's just a cultural thing now. Maybe this was a cultural thing, I don't know. But he grabs Jesus, and he holds him. Could you imagine that moment? Simeon, guided by the Holy Spirit, he's been waiting, he's been going through all of these trials, all of the waiting for the Messiah, and there he is holding the Messiah, Jesus. He's holding his comfort. He's holding salvation. And he's overjoyed. But look what the Bible says in verses 30 to 32. Again, he says, for my eyes have seen thy salvation, which thou hast prepared before the face of all people, a light to lighten the Gentiles and the glory of thy people, Israel. It's amazing to think that Jesus was not only just for Israel, but for us. The Gentiles. Amen. That's our Jesus. He came to be Savior for all peoples. And as we end this memory lane passage, I want us to remember that Jesus is for everyone. He's for the people here of Hayden. He's for your coworker, even that person that irritates you, that irritating family member, that person of a different political party. You know, it was amazing. We had our Easter Sunday, and the gospel light attracts many different bugs. We had our church Mormons. We had our church atheists, and even a man that was dressed a certain way, of the opposite gender. And for a moment, I was very uncomfortable. And for a moment, I had to go to the side and pray. And God spoke to me and said, you know what? I am for him as well. And he needs me as well. The same way you did when you saw me and said, my eyes have seen your salvation. You need to preach to him the gospel as well. He needs me. He needs to have his eyes. And he could say, my eyes have seen your salvation. Jesus is for everyone. He died for everyone. The greatest gift that God gave to humanity, the reason why we get to be in church tonight, why we do missions, because of Jesus. Because God gave the greatest gift through Jesus, and that's salvation. Romans 6:23, we all know it, for the wages of sin is death. But the gift of God is Jesus Christ, eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. And 2 Corinthians 9:15, thanks be unto God for this unspeakable gift. And I don't know about you, Jesus is an unspeakable gift, isn't he? He's the one that we get to represent and tell this world about. Remember the day when you said, my eyes have seen your salvation? I hope and pray that you could take Jesus to somebody who needs comfort so that they can say, my eyes have seen your salvation. Yeah. Lord, I just pray, I ask God tonight that as we continue on the service, that you would just be with us and have our hearts open to the next message, Lord. And I pray and I ask God that we remember that we would take time sometimes in our walk and even through this mission conference to go down memory lane and to remember all that you did for us. We ask all these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Pastor Garcia.
Let's bow our heads. Let's go before the Lord in prayer. Be in a spirit and attitude of prayer. Great message. Going down memory lane. Going back to the fundamentals, the foundation of it all. Christ is our foundation. He died on the cross. Mine eyes have seen thy salvation. Well, let's not forget that. It ought to be on our hearts and on our minds daily that we go before the Lord and say, Lord, you died for me and you love me. And you've given me everlasting life. Thank you. Lord, help me to tell somebody else. Help me to have a heart for somebody else. Somebody brought that message to me. And as the music begins to play, and Brother Jason will come and lead us in a hymn here in just a moment, maybe God's spoken to your heart today, believer. This is a good time to just kind of take a little trip up here to the altar or right there in your seat. Just go before the Lord and say, Lord, thank you. Thank you. Quite often I get caught up in my problems. I get distracted. I get pulled aside with this issue and that issue, and sometimes I just forget to go back to just thanking you for what you did for me, that you loved me. You went to a cross. You didn't have to do that. But you died on my behalf, and you were buried and rose again, and now I know you. And so if God's spoken to your heart tonight, Christian, then just let him know that. Thank him for that. Now, maybe you're here tonight, you don't know Christ as your Savior. You've never trusted in him to be your personal Savior. The Bible says he died for you. The Bible says we're all sinners. The Bible says that he died. He paid a price that no one else could pay. He lived a sinless life. He met the demands of the law for us. And he was put upon a cross and was buried and rose again. There's no way that we can ever get to heaven on our own. We're sinners. We need our sin forgiven. But God commendeth his love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. If you're here tonight without Christ, you don't know for sure if you died that you'd go to heaven, then we would love to show you from the Bible how you can be saved. There's just nothing better than knowing that. Father, we thank you tonight. We thank you for this message that we've heard. A walk down memory lane. Lord, take us back to the day, Lord, when we got saved. Lord, help us to remember what you did on that cross for us. Lord, thank you that you're our great Savior. You're not going to be our judge one day. You're our Savior. You've forgiven us. Help us now to turn our lives over to you and to walk with you and to please you. And Lord, if there's somebody here tonight without Christ, we pray you'll work in their hearts and show them that they need the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior. We thank you and praise you for this. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. Let's all stand with a hymn.